Welcome to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer, a full show of tips and practical strategies to repair, rebuild, and strengthen your relationship. If you are currently stuck, wondering if your marriage can be saved, or you know you want to save it but don't know how to go about changing it, this show is for you. To book your free marriage strategy session with Nicola, get the free marriage ebook or donate. If you are enjoying the show and want to help keep it flowing, visit www.nicolabeer.com.
Hi and welcome, so happy you're here. I'm going to be talking about regret today, and more importantly, fear of regret and fear of making the wrong decision. I'm sure we can all think about situations that we've been in where we've struggled to make a solid decision because we fear that we may regret it and that the decision will be wrong for us or those around us. This can be especially true with life-changing decisions that inevitably will have a far bigger impact than what to do on the weekend. In my recruitment and career coaching days, right at the start of my career, I coached many families as to whether an expat move would be good for them and their family. Now, many come to me unsure whether they should stay or leave their marriage. Sometimes people come in love with two people and confused on who they should choose. I never, unlike some marriage counsellors out there, would tell a couple what they should do, what decision they should make. Because my belief is, who am I to play God with someone else's life? Instead, I support people to work through their fears, clear resentment, release the past, so that they can see and understand what they need clearly to be happy in their own life, in a relationship, and so that they can make decisions with congruency, in alignment with who they are and what they want, not decisions made out of fear. Now, I want to point out that there's a huge difference between taking time to make an informed decision and putting off making decisions altogether because you fear that you may regret the outcome. In fact, there's even a term, I love all these psychological terms for everything, and they call it decidophobia. Would you believe there's a label for everything? And this is defined as an extreme fear of making the wrong decision to the point where you may even suffer from panic attacks and really extreme anxiety. So, decidophobia. Now, as you know, I quite laugh at labels because I think no one is a label. People are not their behaviour. All behaviour can be changed, and therefore the labels aren't really helpful to put people into boxes. But it did make me smile that there's even a label for this. So, I've worked with countless individuals who've decided that they've had enough of not being able to make difficult decisions. And this is where they come to me because they feel paralysed. Paralysed by extreme fear, paralysed by avoiding making decisions. They fear that they're going to regret things. And sometimes this can really lower someone's confidence, their self-esteem, and they can just be stuck in their head, basically. And you're not really living your life if you're stuck in your head. And it's a negative experience. Of course, if you want to be stuck in your head and you're having loads of wonderful, positive thoughts, great, love it. But for a lot of people, when I mention stuck in the head, they are constantly going back and forth, thinking all the worst case scenarios. And that's for sure going to drain your energy. And you cannot get through life without making decisions. You're never going to evolve if you just rely on other people or do nothing, because actually not doing anything is a decision. So some people are making a decision by not doing anything in their relationships, in their career, in their finances, and it's not a very well thought through or informed decision when there's a lot of inaction. So I'm going to share two different areas of life where people have come to me with support in helping to make a decision. First, let me share about Matt. Name change, of course, to protect his identity. He has given me permission to share his story. He came to me because he was questioning his marriage for 7 years. He did not feel the sexual chemistry with his wife. According to him, they lacked fun, passion, and a real connection. It felt since they started a family that they were just going through the motions. He complained to me that everything she did was only centered around the children, and he felt ignored. He also had to follow all of her parenting rules, and he didn't feel he could be the dad that he wanted to be. All she focused on and talked about were the children. Matt felt that her strict regimes made life uncomfortable, and her energy was draining because she complained how tired she was all of the time. Matt started to dread coming home after work. He was greeted with a to-do list rather than any affection and warmth. Sometimes he felt like all his wife saw him as was an ATM machine and a handyman. Matt shared with me that he was confused. He told me that he had an affair with someone else at his office. Nothing serious, and definitely not someone he wanted to be with long term. But at a work function, he would end up going home with her. He did not set out to cheat. It was a drunken conversation about relationships and lack of sex that led him into bed with this other woman from the office. And then it became a monthly occurrence whenever the office went out. Matt was scared to talk to his wife, scared to end his casual fling, as he called it, scared to do anything. So he did nothing. And as time grew on, his thoughts consumed him. I pointed out to Matt that the huge distance in his marriage was his responsibility to take control of. And that when someone complains, like his wife was doing, about being tired or worrying about the children a lot, what she most likely needed was empathy, compassion, positive words, and not avoidance. After he cheated, he admitted that he'd distanced himself further, causing even more damage to the relationship, as then he completely withdrew. He admitted that he barely touched or spoke to his wife. He did feel guilty, and he also felt the relationship was beyond repair. He would go home, play with the children, eat and sleep. And he didn't want to make any decision. He was just brushing it under the carpet because he didn't want to break up his family. And deep down, he knew that his wife was a good person. For years, Matt was consumed and confused whether to end the relationship and start afresh or not. He was so scared that he might regret it. Scared that his children might hate him, scared that he may hate himself, scared that he may be throwing away the love of his life, scared that he wouldn't be loved again by anyone else. So he was even thinking of just moving to a new city, changing job, because he couldn't handle the fear of making the wrong decision. And yet he still kept pushing himself to make a decision every day. So he was putting himself in a trap, telling himself he had to make a decision, and then telling himself he couldn't make a decision. And this is why he was so miserable, and he was desperately unhappy for what he describes as over 5 years. When Matt reached out to me, he asked me if I could guide him on what to do. He wanted me to help him make the decisions that he had been obsessively thinking about for years. I advised him that I can't tell him what to do. However, we could look at removing the fears, doubts, and past emotions, and increase his confidence in making decisions, so that he could then decide what would be best for him. Removing the fear and installing confidence would help him see things more clearly and be able to follow through one way or the other. After the 3-day breakthrough session with me, which is 2.5 hours, 3 days in a row, it became clear that he really did want to give the marriage a chance and put in the effort. That he loved his wife, he did admire and was very grateful for how great she was as a mother. So he decided that he would give it all he had for one full calendar year and then see how he felt at the end. He knew that he needed to learn about what he needed in the relationship, what she needed in the relationship, and he needed to stop seeing her as someone as against him and become a team. Day 3 of the 3 days in the breakthrough program, we set out an action plan. He completely ended the fling with the lady in the office and told her that it would never ever happen again. He started on working on rebuilding a connection with his wife. His then wife was so happy that he was being kinder, more positive, more interactive, that she ended up joining the sessions. And she also wanted to make sure that their physical and emotional relationship was much stronger. And clearly what I said earlier about how sometimes not making a decision is making a decision, if Matt was not careful, he would have run his relationship into the ground. Because you can't have a great relationship if you're avoiding someone. So by making a decision one way or the other, it's going to help the relationship. If you decide you're not going to be together, you're far more likely to have a more positive and supportive co-parenting relationship if you have children, than letting a relationship just completely die out. Because indecision has consequences as well. And many people will say to me on a weekly basis, oh, I wish I'd taken some action earlier. I wish I reached out to you earlier. I wish I found help earlier. And maybe it's too late. Now, I believe that it's never too late, as long as you can take the right action. And of course, if your partner is willing to give you that chance. Now I'll introduce Laura, whose fear of regret affected an entirely different area of her life. Laura recently contacted me for a block of sessions after searching for an anxiety therapist. She shared with me that she was suffering from anxiety and panic attacks because she was her own worst critic. She stopped herself from progressing professionally because she was always fearful of being unsuccessful, of leaving a stable job that she felt secure in. But the job was making her miserable. However, the security and the fear of regret kept her in a job that made her so unhappy, and she was finding it really hard to function. She was one of the longest running employees at her workplace and never had been promoted. And even when she was recommended to go for higher positions, she would put off making a decision so long that her bosses retracted their interest in her, taking the decision out of her hands. Not only was her fear of regret and decision-making happening at work, it was also happening in other areas of her life. She was stuck in a relationship that she really didn't like. It was not making her happy because she didn't want to go out dating and she was worried that she might regret it. It was much easier for her to stay in the relationship than to make the decision. Researchers that have studied neural circuits in the brain and looking at the images have identified that the neural connections are very similar when we experience regret to when we are fearful about regretting something. So the experience in the body, the mind and the body and the emotions could be the same. Fear of regret and regret, which is why so many people get stuck with the fear of regret. So I'm going to outline some signs now to see if fear of regret and making decisions is harming you or someone close to you, getting in your way of happiness, of living your best life and reaching your full potential. So it can be in the career place, people that are stuck in dead-end jobs where they miss out on career progression, they're too scared to move positions, they're too scared to ask for a pay rise, they're too scared to move cities, they're too scared to take a risk to join a new firm. It can also be people that talk to themselves negatively. They tell themselves things like, you can't make decisions, you're not very good. They tell themselves, I'm not confident, I'm not intelligent enough, I'm not good enough. It can be people that miss out on trying new experiences, whether that's travel or new opportunities, new activities. They just stay with the familiar and they don't even try any new hobbies or activities or travel. Then it could be people who miss the chance to meet amazing people, both in the romantic sense or in friendship. They say no to invitations. They say no to getting out there. They sit at home. Then it can be where people are scared of increasing their wealth. They know that having the money in the bank may not be the best option because of inflation, and yet they're too scared to take a risk. They look at investment deals, they maybe research, but they don't say yes to anything. And it can also be people that are stuck in relationships with family, romantic relationships, where it's really making them unhappy. It's not bringing them any joy or fulfillment, and yet they're too scared to make a decision. Now, there are some instances where people may be at more risk of fearing making decisions. Decidophobia, if we're going to use that word. Because they've been through a lot in the past when it comes to making decisions or lack of making decisions, and this is affecting them. For example, if someone's been brought up with little control over their life, perhaps their parents, culture, or even an early romantic partner controlled everything, made all the decisions for them, then they may find it difficult to take control of their own life. Plus, if you've made a decision in the past and it didn't work out for you and you beat yourself up over it, it may scare you from making decisions in the future. Why? Because regret is repeated resentment towards yourself. So when we regret, when we're in the emotion of regret, we're actually bullying ourselves. We're actually holding anger against ourselves and pushing and repeating that. So it feels awful. So your mind, if you've gone through a regret, significant regret in the past, will want to do everything to help you to avoid it, avoiding that pain again. That's why our subconscious mind sometimes can give us these warning signs and say, be careful, it will bring up doubt and indecision and fears and concerns, because it's trying to protect you. It's saying, warning, you could make this mistake. Warning, you could be in pain again. Warning, don't take a decision. And then the other part of you is like, take a decision. The other part's like, no, don't take a decision. And this is where people get stuck. There are also other factors which impact decision making and fear of regret, such as wanting to people please or being comfortable depending on others to make decisions for you. Some people are very naturally laid back and are happy for others to take the lead. So when they're forced to make a decision, they really struggle. A lot of relationships can be like this, actually, that I've worked with, where one person has been a little bit more controlling, likes to make the decisions, and that works out great at the beginning of the relationship because the other person just says, yep, I'm along for the ride. You decide what we do on the weekend. You decide where we're going. I'll just show up. And it works. And then after a while, the person making all the decisions says, I don't want to make all the decisions anymore. I'm tired. I want it to be more balanced. And then they say to their partner, please, you organize something. You take the initiative. You take control. And the other person can be like, well, I don't know. I don't know how to. And it can be a real struggle. If the decisions are involved money and love, of course, decisions can be really difficult for a lot of people because none of us want to lose money. And none of us want to lose love, as it threatens our safety and security. So what can you do if you find yourself avoiding making decisions and have a fear that you will regret the decisions that perhaps you feel you need or you know that you need to make? Well, there are a few things that you can start doing into your daily life that could help make your decision-making easier and reduce your fear of regretting a decision. So I'm just going to go through these. And hopefully some of them or all of them may help you. So the first one is to practice. Make a conscious effort to take control and make small decisions to start with. It could be simple things like deciding where to go for lunch with friends, you organising something on the weekend and inviting other people, you making a decision. And the more you make those decisions, the more you'll become more and more comfortable with the bigger, more important decisions. The next thing is assess the real risk. Sometimes our thoughts can get the better of us, where we can get locked into worst case scenario, doomsday. This is where it can be helpful to give yourself a reality check and also ask for support if needed to give you a reality check too. There are risks in most things. To avoid all risk is not to live. So it's far more important to get informed, to get information and assess. If you're going to think about what might go wrong, think about also what might go right. What if questions can be positive as well? What if the best case happens? What if it goes exactly how you want it to go? What if it exceeds your expectations? How would you feel? Write down the worst case scenario and the best case scenario. Make a long list of best cases and be as honest as possible about the worst and the best cases. So that it's balanced. You're not thinking only about all that could go wrong, but all that could go right too. This will make you feel more confident in your decision making. And then, next to all the things that you've written as a worst case scenario, under each one, write down a list of steps and actions and support you would get if that happened, so that you no longer need to fear it because you have a plan. It's also really great to remind yourself that there's no such thing as a wrong decision. They're just decisions. The only person judging is you. Even decisions that may have not worked out well, we can learn from them. The decisions where I've lost money, for example, trusted people that turned out to be unreliable, I accepted responsibility, moved on, and changed my approach in the future. Like doing more research, getting references on people, in love, learning to be more patient, less needy. When we turn negative experiences into future opportunities, we grow. The fact is, you can't experience anything or learn things if you're not willing to make any decisions, mistakes, or take risks. Another important thing to do is know why you are making the decision. When we arm ourselves with the right knowledge and the right reasoning, it can make it easier to make a decision. I'm making this decision because I'm not happy with where I am. I'm making this decision because in this moment, right now, I'm feeling hurt, drained, fed up. And write down your reasons if it helps you. So if you do reflect back, you can say to yourself, well, at the time, this was the best decision for me. And I really do believe in making decisions. If we don't make decisions, if we don't decide we want to change our lives, we want to improve our lives, we'll just drift. That being said, it's important not to make decisions out of fear. Heightened fear, of course, we all have some fear. It's also important not to make decisions on a whim. Sometimes I say to people, why not wait until you felt like this every day for 3 months or longer, depending on obviously what the decision is. Because when we make decisions out of haste, out of fear, out of heightened emotions, they may not be right. And I really believe in asking others for information, not advice. It can be helpful to speak out your thoughts with those that you trust. If it's a career move or a business move you're looking for, speaking to a career or business professional. Finance related, speak to someone you know who's doing really well financially. Find out their plan, how they did it. If it's a romantic relationship, speak to a relationship expert or someone who has a great relationship, that you admire their relationship, you aspire to have a relationship like their relationship. Look for someone who is successful in doing and being what you want to do and be. Ask them. Never ask what you should do. You need to take responsibility for your own decisions. However, getting information, finding out other people's strategies and plan can be a great idea. And then lastly, if you really feel that your thoughts are overwhelming and the fear is overwhelming, then doing some mindfulness practices. Exercising in silence can be good for shifting thoughts. So can exercise in like uplifting music. Anything that just takes your mind off things. And then of course meditations for some people work really well, for others they don't. There's a whole host of other things that people do, being in nature. Some people like to paint. Some people find even housework as clearing their mind. You know what can help you clear your mind, and just keep doing it when you're faced with important decisions until you get the answer. So don't let fear control any area of your life. Fear is natural. We all have concerns, doubts, and worries from time to time. However, when they take up way too much energy and headspace, this is where it ruins your enjoyment of life. It's important to get support. I help many people break through their fears, increase their confidence so that they can choose the right path for themselves. Sometimes I also do a relationship analysis with individuals or couples to see their compatibility, to help them release the baggage of the past, so that then they can see, can I be happy in this relationship moving forward? Are our goals, dreams, and values aligned? Are we heading in the same direction? Are we going to be able to grow together rather than growing apart? That's what I help couples and individuals to work out. So I'd love you to join the Facebook group that I've created if you're not already in there. It's a relationship and wellness Facebook group, and it focuses on helping people to live their best life. There's a lot of great advice, support, and wisdom in the group. We did a really great post on romantic films. What's your favorite romantic films? I think we had over 30 different suggestions. We've also had loads of support on what to do if one of your needs aren't being met in the relationship or if there's been an affair. It's a really great opportunity to connect. I'm also posting videos in there every week, and it'll be great to see you. From my heart to yours, wishing you an awesome week ahead. Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer. To book your free marriage strategy session today, you can visit www.nicolabeer.com, where you can also get the free marriage fixing ebook, request a topic for the show, and make a donation if the show has been of benefit to you and you want to help keep it going. We wish you an amazing love-filled day ahead.